the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Are you among the 50% plus of people apparently now in favour of nuclear energy being created, manufactured or whatever here in Ireland? That was an Ireland Thing survey in the Sunday Independent over the weekend. We have a Fianna Fáil TD from Cork East, James O'Connor, who is pushing the idea. He wants to bring forward legislation to get rid of the ban on nuclear in Ireland. And it seems that Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, is now interested in examining the nuclear power option. What do you think? And let us know what you think when you've heard our next guests. In a moment, we'll hear from Senator Malcolm Noonan of the Green Party. But first, Dr. Paul Dean, Senior Lecturer in Clean Energy Futures at UCC. Is Ireland's future nuclear?
The honest answer is we don't know, Matt. Look, but I tell you, look, I think we need to keep our options open, but also manage our expectations very carefully about this. Look, first and foremost, this won't do anything to solve the current energy crisis. This is something that may or may not be available in 10 or 15 years' time. And Matt, the word that does all the heavy lifting here is may or may not. You know, this is a type of technology that's not really commercially available at the moment. The type of thing that we're thinking about for nuclear in Ireland is what we call small modular nuclear reactors. These are kind of similar to kind of modular homes. They're smaller type things.
How small?
They're still quite large. So a typical power plant in Ireland would be about 400 megawatts. That would be quite large. These would be about half the size. But they still have a pretty substantial footprint.
How much space, would they take up? Would they be a football pitch in size or a lot bigger?
They'd be similar to a conventional power plant, so kind of a couple of football fields, and you kind of auxiliary equipment all around them as well. So, but the modular element here, Matt, I suppose the appeal there is that you do the really technical, difficult stuff in a kind of a standardized factory someplace in China or in the States, and then you'd ship that container over to Ireland and you drop that into a building, and that would be the kind of the nuclear reactor element of the electricity generation type. These type of things exist already. There's one in Russia, there's a couple in China, but look, what happens in Russia and China aren't always good proxies for what happens in rules-based democracies like Ireland.
Aren't they in the United States of America, a lot of the tech companies which have the big AI ambitions, aren't they going nuclear, building these little nuclear plants for their needs?
And again, the word that comes into play here, Matt, is are thinking about it, are talking about it. There's very few people doing it. The one that I think is most interesting at the moment, Matt, is actually what the government of Ontario over in Canada are doing. Down in Darlington, which is the home of an existing nuclear power plant, they're actually building one of these things. They've just broken ground in it last summer. It's going to cost $6 billion Canadian dollars for a relatively small power plant, but that cost will come down. And I think a lot of governments in Europe and around the world will be keeping an eye on that development, seeing how it goes. Will it come in on budget? Will it come in on time? But then after that, Matt, it has to develop a commercial track record. You need these things to be operating for a long number of years before a utility here might have the confidence enough to buy it. So in my view, it may or may not be something that will be available in about 10 or 15 years' time. But I think the one to watch is what they're doing in Canada at the moment.
But don't we need to lay the groundwork now, given how slow it is to get anything done in Ireland? Don't we need to get rid of the legal restriction brought in 1999, I think, in an Act of the Oireachtas, stopping us even discussing nuclear, let alone actually starting work on building one?
Yeah, and I'd agree with you there. Look, a lot of the talk about nuclear is on the technology side. The technology developments for nuclear are outside of our hands. They're going to happen outside of our borders in places like Canada, China, Russia, etc. What we do need to be doing in Ireland is the non-technical elements, as you said, the legislative elements, the planning elements. We don't have competent authorities in Ireland here to operate large nuclear facilities. And also, Matt, I think we really need to start thinking about the public support element. You mentioned that poll this morning, but 59% of people are in favour of nuclear. But it'd be interesting to ask the question, how many people would live 10 kilometres away from a nuclear power facility? And that's the real crux of the question.
It is, because if we've had problems before, like Ballinaboy, in bringing in the offshore gas from the Corrib field and the difficulties in getting the planning for that, God knows what it would be like asking anybody in any part of Ireland to live near a nuclear facility.
Yeah, and look, we have a system in Ireland that's geared towards obstructing rather than constructing. We're having huge difficulties in Ireland building commercially available technologies such as wind farms and solar farms and power lines. If we can't build power lines in this decade, the chances of building nuclear power plants in the next decade are very slim.
Okay, Senator Malcolm Noonan of the Green Party, what's your position on, if not immediately, because it isn't possible immediately, in the future of introducing nuclear to our energy mix?
Well, first of all, I agree with everything Paul has said there, Matt, and certainly our climate committee is the place to do that. I think James O'Connor's bill is premature at this stage. It's cart before the horse in terms of a legislative bill. I do think we need to have a conversation about it, but we don't really have the luxury of time here. We have in the last government, the Greens have put in the infrastructural framework around the offshore renewables and to really ramp that up. And we are seeing a stalling on that now. Our committee.
Sorry, Malcolm, there are people who would say that the stalling had happened previously when the Greens were in power, and it's only in the last year or two that we've actually had anything of an acceleration, given that we had our first offshore wind farms 23 years ago and none since.
So where did they come from, Matt? They came from the MAP Act that we brought in. They came in from setting up the MARA, setting up the infrastructure to allow the renewables and the concessions on the offshore. That's where they came from, the 2020-2024 programme for government when the Greens were there. So we're seeing the benefit of that now. What we are seeing is a government bringing in an infrastructure bill that is disapplying the Climate Act. There's no scrutiny on it. Our committee is due to discuss the issue of nuclear, actually, as it happens at my request, particularly in relation to an issue around Sellafield in Cumbria, where there has been significant challenge there. And the House of Commons version of PAC, Public Accounts Committee, has a damning report on safety issues at Sellafield.
Yeah, but sorry, aren't those historical legacy issues in relation? I mean, we keep bringing back to Sellafield and Windscale, which were an issue well before the majority of people listening to this and even the people in this studio were born. And haven't we got modern technology which has made nuclear an awful lot safer? And even if there remain issues in relation to how you dispose the spent uranium, isn't this a much more carbon efficient, carbon clean way of generating the power that we need?
Well, let's have the conversation about that. And I agree with what Paul is saying there. The reality is the waste issues are going to be around for tens of thousands of years. And I think the safety issues are ongoing at Sellafield because of underinvestment there for decades. The point as well that Paul made about the small nuclear reactors, the modular reactors, there's only a couple of demonstration projects out there. And he's correct in saying that it could be 10, 15 years before we see anything that's scalable, that can be scaled up into a commercial operation. We don't have a regulatory framework in this country. And I think we're wasting energy and time on an issue while we have the infrastructure for renewables to scale up renewables at pace in Ireland now. And that's where we should be focusing our energy, but also looking at rational use of energy. Data centres are eating up a huge amount of the available, and particularly the new renewables that are coming on stream. And we have to have a look at that, as well as perhaps even maybe talking about slowing down our economy a little bit so we can play catch up with infrastructure. We don't have the infrastructure for nuclear. And I think it's important, absolutely, to have the debate. And we'd be delighted to have a lengthy discussion at the Climate Committee about that. But certainly legislating for it now is not an option. While we have 2030 targets to meet, we're going to fall way, way short on those. And now here we are discussing nuclear power.
Okay, what do you mean by slowing down the economy? And if you were to say we're opting out of the AI race and we're not going to provide the data centres, would that not risk enormous amount of investment going overseas? And indeed, many of the companies that contribute enormous corporate tax revenues in Ireland deciding to move elsewhere where they would facilitate the data centres.
Well, I do think that we need to look at our own indigenous industry here. We need to, there's a huge overinvestment in tech and AI in this country. And the reality is if we move into that data center race, the same as Denmark and other countries, we are going to face a huge challenge. And who's that going to fall back on?
So how do you mean an overinvestment in tech?
Well, if we have a particularly with data centers, Matt, I think the reality is they're using up huge volumes of the new renewable energy that we're putting on stream, and the reality for that is falling back on household energy bills. I think that's the real challenge that we have here. Certainly, I don't think nuclear is going to be an option in Ireland, and I agree with Paul in relation to that. We have our 2030 targets or 2050 targets to meet, and I think we need to remain laser focused on ramping up renewables on wind and solar in particular.
Yeah, but Paul Dean, we have added a lot of solar and we've added onshore wind energy, but we have failed dramatically in relation to onshore wind energy. how confident can we be that we're going to get any additional new onshore, offshore wind energy, which we actually need, that we'll get the actual windmills in the sea rather than just talk about them?
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating, Matt. And as you mentioned, 23 years ago, we were world leaders in offshore energy, and we've done nothing since. We've talked about it, and we've had task forces and consultations and white papers, etc., but we haven't put turbines in the water. This is a technology.
I'm sorry, whose fault is that?
Like, it is government. No, it's their fault and responsibility. And as I said, we're geared towards obstructing rather than constructing things. This is a technology that is commercially available at the moment. You can buy it, you can build it. We have the expertise here, we have the competent authorities. And here we are now talking about nuclear. If we can't do the things that are right in front of our nose, how are we going to do the things that are 15, 20 years down the line? So it is frustrating. And it's not for a want of know-how. It's not for a lack of skills or knowledge or development or finance. It's for a lack of political will to push through on these things. And that's what we're missing here.
What do you think of the data centres? Should we be stopping the data centres because we can't afford to give them the new energy that's been produced? Or would that be counterproductive to the economy because we might lose the corporation tax revenues that come from the companies that use the data centres?
No, you can't stop them all. But what you need to do is cut your cloth to measure. And we need to welcome the ones here that will increase our availability of renewables and reduce our reliance on natural gas. There's a mixed, I suppose, bag of different type of data center users out there. Some of them want to use natural gas and increase our reliance on natural gas. That isn't an avenue that we should be shutting down here in Ireland. So I think it's being strategic about the ones that will get us to where we want to go in the time that we have to get there.
And do we also talk too much about electricity, given that an awful lot of our use of fossil fuels is non-electricity related?
Yeah, look, actually about 80% of all the energy that we use today in our daily lives is non-electricity related. Ireland is one of the most fossil fuel reliant economies in Europe. We spend about €1 million every hour, Matt, on oil and on natural gas. Most of that goes into our home heating, our cars, our trucks. So there does need to be a wider focus. But the thing about electricity, Matt, we can produce electricity. We can't make and we can't extract oil here or gas here in Ireland.
Well then, what about, there's been again in the last week or so, your belief that Larry Goodman, who's taken control of Barry Row, wants to get another license to go and explore. There's potentially 300 million barrels of oil there and possibly gas reserves. Would it make some sense that even if we're against the idea of adding to our carbon fuel emissions, that rather than importing oil and gas from overseas, when there is a doubt over the security of supply, that we might as well exploit what we have here in the next couple of decades rather than just leaving it redundant under the sea?
Yeah, and that's a very reasonable and sensible question to ask. Look, in the last 40 years, we've drilled 161 wells around the coast of Ireland. We've never found commercial oil and we've found commercial gas in two basins. Okay, so we've a hit rate of 2 in 161. That's appalling when you compare it to other places. Trying to attract oil companies to that kind of hit rate has been a huge challenge over the last 40 years. In terms of Barry Row, look, if people want to explore Barry Row, let them go out, but it shouldn't be put on the books of the Exchequer. Barry Row is a relatively small oil field. If we look at the investor information that was published just before a number of years ago, there's about 20,000 barrels of oil available there. We need 120,000 barrels of oil every single day. So it's not a game changer. It's not a solution to our wider challenges. And to be honest, Matt, I think in terms of energy security, it's probably more in terms of what we need to do in front of refineries at the moment rather than behind refineries that would enhance our energy security.
What do you mean by that, in front of refineries?
Well, I suppose during the recent oil protests, getting oil out of the refinery into the forecourts was a huge challenge to energy security rather than getting oil into the refinery from ships internationally.
Thank you very much, Dr. Paul Dean, who's Senior Lecturer in Clean Energy Futures at University College Cork, and Senator Malcolm Noonan of the Green Party.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.